Dear friends, here is this amazing prayer of Moses. There is so much to be said, but the very title of it is very instructive. Here's a prayer, but it's not of any kind of prayer. It is not a prayer of anybody. It's a prayer of a man of God. And that is quite impressive. That is quite heart-searching. The prayers that we offer, is it offered up by people who could be called a man or a woman of God? Here is an honest prayer. He goes on in those few verses at the beginning. He speaks about the providence of God over Israel. He says that God has been their dwelling place in all generations. At all times, the Lord has been their God. And he goes on to say, before the mountains were brought forth, before even the world was created, God was their God. In election, God knew them. God was planning to form them, create them. And that's a wonderful truth. It is mind-boggling, but it is true. And then you have in verse 3, he speaks about the weakness and frailty of man. And he says, "Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return ye children of men." People vanish away. But with God, time is limitless. The Lord is outside of time. And so we have here an expression which is very instructive. 1,000 years to us is a long time. But for the Lord, it is like a day. And so that is how the Lord sees it. It's just like yesterday when it is past, as a watch in the night. And then what you find in verses 7 onwards, you see the Lord speaks, and here the psalmist is bringing to the Lord's attention and complaining that he says that they are consumed. What is this? Isn't God their God? Wasn't there the Lord formed them? Didn't the Lord create them? But what's happened to them? Here Moses speaking and saying they have been chastened by God. They've been chastised by the Lord. That is why they are experiencing these things. And why is that? Why is it that God would chasten His own people? Why? Because they had sinned against the Lord. The Lord takes it seriously, even the sin of His own people seriously. And dear friends, that is something we ought to take to heart. We give too much credence to the devil. We sometimes blame the devil for the problems and the troubles in the church at large. And we have to see the hand of God in it all. Even the bad individuals or the evil people and governments that come and they bring trouble upon the church. Who is behind that? It is the Lord who allows these things and who sends these things, as He sent Babylonians, the Assyrians, all these different nations. Why? To chasten, to chastise, to humble His people. And dear friends, if we are in a very sad and weak state, if we feel that the church in the West is becoming more and more oppressed and depressed, you have to ask yourself, where have we been? What have we been doing? Have we been faithful to the Lord? Are we filled with zeal for His glory? Are we busy about our personal lives? And is Christianity just an appendix to our lives? Or is it everything? Is it from when we get up, when we go through the day, when in good days, in bad days, with believers, with unbelievers? When we go to bed, are we Christians at all times? Do we love the Lord at all times? Do we honor Him at all times? Or is it a professional kind of Christianity? And this is where as well the ministers of the gospel and Christian leaders, they are also at fault here. Have we been lax in our duties? In the preaching of the Word of God. So here the psalmist speaks and says that God's wrath is upon the people. And they are experiencing severe chastisement. He speaks about God is angry. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? So then he goes on to say, in verse 12 onwards, he prays that they would have a right sense, a right understanding of the things, that they would be given discernment. I need discernment, Lord. I need discernment, he says, about the days of my life. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And then he desires this. He says, oh Lord, return to us. Meaning, there was a time that they did know the Lord. There was a time that they had experienced the goodness and the nearness of God. And yet now, somehow, something's happened. The sin has come, unbelief has come, and the Lord has departed. At least his sense, his felt presence is gone. And so he says, I need thee, Lord. Return, O Lord, how long? He says, Lord, change your mind. Repent, he says. Repent thee concerning thy servants. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy. He says, I need thy mercy. I need the mercy of God. I don't deserve it. Lord, be merciful to us sinners. He speaks about, make us glad. What is that telling you? He says, Moses is very cast down. My friends, here Moses is saying something that oftentimes Christians will not admit. He was in a low state and he was depressed. He was depressed. Do you become depressed at times? Do you become, everything becomes black to you and you're so confused in your mind? Moses felt like that. It is not a shameful thing. The shameful thing is when we cover. The shameful thing, when we don't bring it to the Lord. The shameful thing would be to say, we can handle this by ourselves. And time will resolve these matters. Friends, let us be honest with God. And let us pray, Lord, I am depressed. I am sad. I don't understand. I'm discouraged. But Lord, we need thee to return and make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us and the years wherein we have seen evil. He says, I need to see thy work, not my work. I need to see the work of God. Is that your prayer? I trust it would be our prayer. We want to see the work of God, not the work of us, our hands. Our works perish. But the work of Jesus Christ does not perish. It lasts forever and ever. May the Lord be the source of our gladness. Not man. Not our feelings. Your life may be very miserable, humanly speaking. But in the midst of those fires and waters, you can still rejoice in the Lord. Always, the apostle said, while his hands are in chains. And again, I say, rejoice. May the Lord then write these words upon our hearts. Amen.